Welcome to Sister Speak Big Brother 11, where we discuss the current season of Big Brother from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 2.
Yep, this is Ronnie's week as HOH.
Let's get started.
Okay, after Dumb Braden was voted out, then they had the HOH competition. And, you know, of course Ronnie won. Everybody knows that because we
Sister
do that.
Sister J, you just started right on in. We didn't even get a chance to say our email address.
Oh, okay, well, I thought we were going to do that at the end.
We can.
Okay, let's do it at the end. Anyway, everybody knows Ronnie won the HOH, but Ronnie swears he starts immediately right after that HOH competition, yep. Or in between the time where they're waiting for the HOH competition, he starts immediately telling everybody, I wasn't the one that did that vote. Michelle was the one that did the vote.
Which was hinky.
That was a lie.
That was terrible.
But
the thing that got me about him and that is that he kept it up.
That's true.
And kept it going way too long when it was obvious that he was the one.
And I do know that a lot of people complain about Ronnie and, oh, he's a liar and he's a this and he's a that. And they're calling him the rat, Ronnie the rat and all that stuff. But I'm saying for Ronnie's week in the HOH room, go ahead, Ronnie. I'm liking Ronnie. Because, I mean, he was lying to everybody. He was telling everybody everything. The only issue I had with Ronnie is that he would tell one group, like his HOH crew, that's what they call themselves. You know, Chima, Lydia, Kevin, and all them that meet up there. He would tell them something, but then he would go and tell the other side, like either Jeff or Jordan. And I'm thinking, well,
what?
Yeah.
Why would he do that?
Why? And because he would lead his HOH crew people to believe that, okay, this is hush hush, don't tell nobody.
And then he'd turn around and tell it.
Yep.
Okay, so.
So, let's talk about what Ronnie gets in his HOH room.
Which I thought was kind of cool, except who would think of all that crazy stuff?
Play-Doh? They asked for that stuff.
He asked for Play-Doh. A big bubble wand.
and a CD of Legally Blonde, the musical.
Well, it turned out he was upset because it was Legally Blonde, the soundtrack.
Oh.
And not the musical.
Lord have mercy.
So, but he's like, oh, well, I'll listen to that.
Well, you know, all the other men in the house were looking at him really strange when he was going on about, ooh, a bubble wand. And I'm thinking, man, this guy is a little too nerdy.
But you know what? After being in the house that long, I would have been excited too with nothing to do.
That's true. His wife's real pretty though.
Yeah.
She's very pretty.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. I thought she was very cute. So, okay.
So the plan is from the beginning of when he gets to HOH, excuse me, is to, or at least several people say they want to start backdooring Russell, right?
Chima, Kevin, and Lydia.
Right, because they think Russell is a loose cannon. He gets angry at people and blows up.
Yeah. Russell is trying to, I think, win the game by intimidating other people. I like Russell, though, but he needs to tone that bully stuff down.
I think he thinks, though, that calling people out like he's doing is going to show that those people are untrustworthy, but really,
yeah,
it's making him look like a bully, and people are kind of nervous.
Yep. Now, did you see that have and have not competition with Dan?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
That was, well, I saw everything.
How was he as the host, though?
He was good. He's...
Because the house guest was talking, some of them were talking later about, he was lackluster and, you know, I didn't really like him in this season.
Well, Dan was not a very exciting person to watch. I mean, he did some different moves, and he was America's player, so that kind of made him a little bit different. But he wasn't that compelling to me to watch.
Oh, and speaking of America's player, don't you think it's hilarious how they seem to think that one person or the other is America's player? They don't have any America's player
this
year.
Well, they don't know that.
Yeah. So they're thinking Ronnie's doing all this stuff because he's America's player.
They don't know anything about if there's going to be something, if there's a twist, if there's...
That's true.
You know, you don't know all that until the end.
That's true. So on the have and have not competition, the populars lose, which means that they're exiled to the doom room, they have to eat slop, and they have to take cold showers for the whole week. So that's Laura
and
Jordan.
Well, what you're missing about that have and have not competition is at the end, Casey won for the... Oh, that was not the have and have
no,
not.
No, it was not.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, I know what you're going to say, and you're yeah. mixing that up. That was
but that wasn't the...
That was Braden's week. We already discussed that.
No. This wasn't a have and have not. It was a luxury competition, wasn't it? And
then, Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like a have and have not competition. It was a
luxury competition to watch a movie.
Yeah, to watch that movie, The Ugly Truth. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, Casey won where they all had to dress up in outfits and say, "Who, you know, would Ronnie rather dress up as Princess Leia at a Star Wars convention? Or would he rather stay with his wife and watch something on TV?" And they had to come out dressed up as different characters, right? Well, Casey won for the men and Shima won for the women. And at the end of that competition, wasn't that the one?
And I don't then Dan, even remember.
Yeah, that was the one with Dan. And Dan said, "Okay, you guys need to decide who you want to have be the have-not team." And Casey said, "Let's talk about it." And Shima immediately said, "I want the populars." And Casey said,
"Yeah, that is
she
true."
She said, "Well, let's think about this for a minute. What about the athletes?" And she's like, "Oh, you really want to go home, don't you?" Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I remember now. Yeah, that's true.
And
so they was going to do rock, paper, scissors.
So Casey said, "Well, let's do rock, paper, scissors." She's like, "Well, you can do whatever you want to do, but I want the populars." Well, what I found out later, because at first I was like, well, that was kind of rude of Shima. Very rude. I understand, though, she's aligned with the athletes, so she didn't want to pick the athletes. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to pick her team,
right?
Of course.
The brains.
And she likes the offbeat. She likes Lydia and she likes Kevin, so she didn't want to do it to them. And she doesn't like the popular. So, yeah, it made sense, but the way she was saying it was wrong. Well, what I found out later in the After Darks is that apparently CBS cut out, which we already know they do.
Oh, yeah. They cut
they actually did do, or Casey was doing rock, paper, scissors, and so is Shima, and they would say, okay, 1, 2, 3,
and then they do show. It on 4.
No, and they would show on 3. Casey kept saying, show on 3, and Shima on purpose kept doing 4, so that she could see what he was doing, and then he'd say, no, do it on 3, and they'd say, 1, 2, 3, go, and she'd say, 4, go.
That's kind of cheating.
And it was, but she says, I wasn't trying to play no rock, paper, scissors. I wanted the populars, and I was just going to go along with what he said. Well, we didn't see all that, because CBS cut all that out. So that was funny, but that was how the populars got the have-not room.
Okay. Well, I'm not sorry that they got the have-not stuff, because I don't like Laura. Jordan's okay, but that little dippy dumb crap is getting on my nerves.
I really like Jordan.
I don't particularly like her.
I really like her. I think she's sweet. She's funny. And what I really like about her is all the stories that she tells about her life, and even the embarrassing stuff and the stuff that doesn't make her look that great, she tells it all.
But that is one dumb girl.
Well, you know.
Ooh, she is a really...
I don't think she's dumb.
Unintelligent person.
No.
In my opinion. That's my opinion.
I have had friends... Actually, the very first roommate I had in college was so smart in books, got straight A's. But when it came to regular street smarts and taking care of herself, she was terrible.
Well, Jordan is, there's been no evidence that Jordan is book
so
smart.
So there are people that are the opposite.
But we're talking about Jordan.
I'm telling you, there are people that are like that
anyway,
in the world.
Okay, so Shima, let's move on. Shima is telling Ronnie up in the HOH room that she wants Laura and Jeff to be nominated for eviction.
Okay.
So, that's where we're at.
Well, let's move on to the actual nominations.
Okay.
Nomination ceremony.
Okay.
Where Ronnie nominates. And see, this is where Ronnie kept going back and forth to people saying, well, I'm gonna do Russell because he's really been getting on my nerves, mm-hmm. and da 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 da. And he's telling both sides what he's gonna do for the opposite side.
He did that a lot.
Yes, mm-hmm. And so I was interested to see who he was gonna nominate because it was gonna tell what he was doing, what side he was gonna go against.
He wasn't gonna go against his H-O-H crew,
we knew though. That. Mm-hmm. So he nominates Laura and Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But I want to address something before that happened before then, and that is, you know, Jeff and Jordan are in the backyard, and they're having a little pity party. And then in the After Darks, they move it to that one little bed part that they kind of cuddle in. And they're, you know, feeling sorry for themselves. And Jordan is saying she's sick of being picked on and that she's never had anybody hate her like these people in the house hate her. And so Jeff makes a comment that he can't say anything to Shima because he's afraid he'll be called a racist and he wasn't or he doesn't want to be portrayed that way. And what I have to say is this. Jeff can talk to Shima all he wants. Just don't say no racist shit. Then you won't be portrayed as a racist. But you can talk to a person, whether they be black, white, Asian, whatever, and it not be racial.
That's true.
You know? So I don't see where his I was a little offended that he would think simply because she is a black woman and she has called somebody else out for racist and misogynist content that he now can't say anything to her because she'll call him a racist. That's not true. We don't do that.
Well, look, Sister J, I have a feeling that that comment all stemmed from Lydia and Kevin's comments to them after that whole fight kicked off. I don't believe he believes that. What I think he was saying is, based on what Lydia and Kevin kept telling them, if you keep talking to Brayden, if you keep putting yourself around Brayden, if you keep being friends with Brayden, then you believe exactly as he does, and you're a racist.
Well, but he has had conversations with as far as in a whole group where everybody was, you know, in the group, and everybody's talking, whether it's Jeff, Shima, whatever. So other than the Brayden stuff, I just didn't see any context for this. But I still like Jeff, though.
Right, but what I'm saying is I think that's where he was coming from with it. Because
it could be.
I don't see any other, like you said, there's no other reason for anyone to think that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk. Okay, so we got to the nominations, but let's talk about, oh Lord, the one person that gets on my nerves more than anybody in that daggum house. And Natalie? That's Natalie. Damn. Ooh, that girl got to go. Okay. Jordan is having a conversation with Russell. And she's, you know, Jordan's just telling, they're just talking, and she's just telling Russell, like, you know, well, you know, I can't be talk to mean people because, you know, she don't know what to say and it's not the other. And Russell's trying to, you know, kind of like soothe her and tell her, well, you know, nobody's being mean. Just remember, Jordan, this is a game. Everybody's playing for the same thing. Well, Natalie overhears their conversation because her ass is always lurking around trying to hear people's conversations. She runs right to Jesse, and she has the nerve to say to Jesse that Russell and Jordan told each other they have their backs. That is not even what they said. That is not even what they said. And so she's causing all kind of other controversy. But Natalie does that every single time that somebody is talking. She only goes and talks to Jeff or Jordan or Laura so she can go back and tell Jesse whatever they said.
Or Casey.
Mm-hmm. You know? And that is just... And then she has the nerve to complain about Ronnie being a rat. Oh, I do not like Natalie, though. She gets on my nerves. She gets on my nerves. She is just too far up his little butt.
Well, I didn't see that. That was on the After Dark?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see all that. But she is annoying just from the fact that she's always talking.
Always.
Always. She can't not talk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually telling somebody else what somebody else said, and somebody else said this, and that, and the other. Yeah.
Well,
throughout all this, we're starting to get over onto the POV competition.
Right, but let's talk about all that conversation about backdooring Jesse before the POV happened.
You mean Russell?
Excuse me, Russell. Yeah, I'm sorry, Russell. I don't know why I'm getting them mixed up because they look totally different.
They sure do.
But, you know.
Yeah, that's another part of Ronnie's strategy I don't get.
I don't get it. I can understand Ronnie talking to his HOH crew. That's Kevin, Lydia, Natalie, and Shima. And I can see him talking to them about, okay, if one of them wins a POV, then let's backdoor Russell and stuff. Why would you go tell Jeff and Laura?
Because he...
excuse me, Jeff and Jordan.
I think because he... I don't know. See, this is why I don't get. Because if he had no intention of doing it, and if he was working with Russell behind the scenes all that time...
Well, he wasn't yet.
Well, this was around the time that he was and Russell were fighting.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe at that point in time he thought he was going to do it. But my point is, why go and tell him until it's done?
Yeah, and why go tell...
until the POV gets...
the other side and you know,
he's
all sides.
He's constantly talking game.
Yeah,
you can't not talk without... kind of like Natalie. Without talking game. And then when the game comes up, it's like, well, you got to pick a side now.
Okay, so let's go on to the POV competition.
That was a very cool POV. I liked it with the coin star where they had to get...
Dang, that was a lot of coins.
Woo, did you see when they were on the quarters and they said, Ronnie, you are $500 over? I would have been taking my bucket back inside the house. If he had that many quarters, do you know how much money in coins that must have been in that backyard?
He probably couldn't lift it.
Well, he lifted it enough in the bucket. But that was a really cool competition. I really liked that.
It was kind of cute. Yeah.
I want to know what I would be interested in seeing if CBS ever does it, is if they did like an episode that was all like behind the scenes, how do we do this? And how they get all the competitions set up. And how they come up with it and how they get it all together.
They probably have something like that.
They don't.
For maybe the contestants. Because on one of the previous Big Brothers, somebody mentioned, one of those house guests mentioned that Big Brother makes you a DVD of all the stuff that that goes on in the house.
All the broadcasting.
But, but they said plus some other stuff. That's what they said.
Well,
so,
maybe
I don't
the
know.
Interviews, but I can't see them getting productions.
Okay, so who wins the POV?
Jeff.
Yep.
And I was happy because I like Jeff.
I was happy because,
I wanted
Jeff.
Something to be shook up because, you know, to go from Jesse to Ronnie was like, you know, even with Ronnie's funky vote, you know, we could already see the tide turning where people weren't quite as angry with him.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were waning off their anger.
That's true.
And so...
But after the POV, though, people weren't ratcheted up yet because Laura hadn't started doing her stuff yet.
That's true.
Now, after the POV, that's when Jordan went to Laura and Michelle. Because, you know, Laura and Michelle had been kept out of the loop. Ronnie didn't talk to Michelle. No. He didn't include her in the HOH crew. Mm-hmm. So, that was after the POV... And they knew that Jeff won, so obviously Jeff's going to take himself off the block. Jordan went and told Laura and Michelle about the backdoor plan for Russell. And how Ronnie had planned it and the HOH crew had agreed and this and that and the other. Okay. Now, what happens after that is the HOH crew, including Ronnie, they go and ask Jordan, now check out this shady stuff. They go and ask Jordan to run interference with Natalie and Jesse so they can have a private conversation with Laura up in the HOH room. And so Jordan says, sure, she'll do that. So Laura sneaks on up to the HOH room. No sooner than Laura had sat down in that little round chair and was getting ready to talk, they was watching the spy cam. Here come Natalie. Up to the HOH room. So Laura ducked into the bathroom. But Kevin said, well, let me go in there because then Natalie would think Kevin's the one in the bathroom. And Kevin was standing there. You know how that mirror thing is there? You know, like blowing his nose and doing something. So she would think he was the only person in the bathroom seat. And, you know, they kind of chit-chatted for just a few minutes. But then Ronnie said, you know, well, he was getting tired and, you know, and everything. So Natalie left. And I guess she just assumed the other people were going to leave, too.
Right.
But they didn't. So when Natalie left, they locked the door, and then Laura came out the bathroom, and they talked with her about, you know, what about backdooring Russell, and if they was trying to get her to promise not to put them up on the block if she won HOH, if they backdoored Russell and kept her.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, she's like, of course, I'll say whatever I need to say.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. So
that's how that whole fight started.
That's how it all started.
And then the bad part, that's part of it. And then the bad part was after she left, all the other HOH crew, I guess you call them, come up. Mm-hmm. And Ronnie starts saying, yeah, Laura said Russell told her she's got the votes. Laura said Russell told her that she's going to stay and that he had all the votes locked up. Mm-hmm. Why would he say that?
I don't know.
Of course, like you said, little rat Natalie gets up and goes and tells Laura and them what was said. Mm-hmm. Of course, that starts it all. And
yeah, but you're getting ahead though. This fight happened after Jordan was nominated. See, Jordan hadn't been nominated yet. Before then. All the HOH crew.
Jordan and Jeff were nominated. This was around the time of...
Well, all of this other happened before that POV ceremony, you know, where Jeff decides whether he's going to use it or not. Because when you win the POV, there's like a day lag.
Right, I'm talking... Yeah, we're on the same page.
Okay.
I'm saying is they hadn't decided yet who... to put up when Jeff took himself down. Ronnie hadn't decided yet. That's when all that fight started.
Well, when Jeff takes himself off, Ronnie has to immediately nominate somebody.
Right. Exactly.
And everybody understood or thought they understood that he was going to nominate Russell.
Right. And then
Jesse talked him out of it.
Right. But before that even happened, he's talking to Laura and to Jordan.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah, you're just going off. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, I thought you were talking about something else.
No, I'm talking about the fight that everybody in the house gets pissed and they all start talking together and find out that Ronnie's been playing him. That all happened before the veto, didn't it? The veto ceremony.
Yeah, it did.
Okay. It did. So, I mean.
Yeah, it did.
So, basically, Natalie runs down and tells Laura, to ask Laura, did you say that Russell has your votes? Russell comes out and he hears it. So then Laura, which I actually really like this, said, oh no, bring them all out here. I didn't say shit. I didn't say that.
Well, she had nothing to lose.
I was promising everybody. You know. So then Ronnie comes down and says, well, didn't you say that you'd be a better ally than Jordan? Didn't you say that?
Well, but Ronnie.
So maybe this was.
Ronnie was slick though, because as you pointed out last week, when Ronnie's telling these lies, he has just a little grain of truth in it.
Yeah.
So therefore, the other people would believe it. Well, when he was saying to Laura, because Laura was trying to throw him under the bus, but didn't you say da-da-da-da-da, and she had to say, well, yes, but, you know.
So you're right, because this was when Jordan was already nominated.
Right, so
because she kept
after.
Saying, yeah, you're right, my bad.
Okay.
Because she was.
Just so you understand that I was correct.
In this instance, only, I will say, in this instance you were correct. Mm-hmm. I was wrong.
Yeah.
But normally I'm
anyway,
right.
Okay, well, let's go on to the POV ceremony. But what I was trying to point out is that before the POV ceremony, the HOH crew got to feeling insecure about the fact that Jesse was not on board with backdooring Russell, and they thought maybe Ronnie would falter because Ronnie's so aligned with Jesse. So they decided that if and when Laura told anybody, well, you know, they all told me that they was going to backdoor Russell, they would all lie. and say, we didn't tell her that to make it look like she's just being desperate because she's on the block. So that was before the POV ceremony. Then we get to the POV ceremony where
Jeff takes himself off.
Takes himself off.
And then Ronnie nominates Jordan.
Yep.
Which we all saw coming. Yeah. We knew he wasn't going to do it to Russell.
He should have put, if he wasn't going to put up Russell, he should have put up Casey. I think.
So then that's when we get to that fight.
Yeah. Now that's right after that big old fight. Because Laura realizes, okay, I'm not winning against Knight. As you point out, you think Jordan nice and cute and sweet. Nice, cute, sweet Jordan.
Yeah,
so,
she is.
So Laura's beginning to get real worried, and she's trying to do, which is you're supposed to do. She's
damage
trying to
control.
Do whatever she can
yep.
do, you know. Yep. And they have a big old fight. Ooh. But before that fight, Casey and Jeff and Jordan are in the backyard in cahoots, and they're trying to work out how they can get Russell on their side so they can get Ronnie out next week. So yeah. They're trying to decide whatever they need to tell Russell to get him to come over to their side, you know, which I don't know why they even do that. He's an athlete, so he's going to always be with the athletes because there's four.
Not
there's
always,
four
because Jeff's not.
He's gonna always be there until there's not four.
Well, that's what you would think they would do, but that's not mm-hmm. how people have been doing.
Yeah, well, and then I think it's interesting, too, that Lydia talks to Russell about splitting up Jesse and Natalie. And then Lydia and Russell are sitting in the backyard. They trashing Natalie. They are
trashing. Well, I understand why Lydia is, because she likes Jesse.
She's jealous of Natalie, and Natalie's jealous of her, too.
Right.
So
can we get on to the fight?
Okay, get on to the fight.
So in that fight, Laura, which I like, she was like, I did not tell you that I haven't even talked to Russell. I did not tell you that Russell told me that he had the votes to keep me.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronnie was good. Like you said, he said, well, didn't you say you would be a better ally than Jordan? Didn't you say that we should keep you over Jordan? Trying to throw her under,
yep.
saying that she was, she's like, of course, I told you whatever I could say. I told you anything to stay because I want to be here. I was going to tell you yes to anything.
But see, by him making her say that,
right.
the other house guests have got to be thinking, yeah, that broad
well,
gonna say anything.
So then everybody gets to talking and realizing, and so
yeah,
and so
that was good.
She's like asking him, well, why don't you say exactly what was said? And he won't do it. He's like, well, I'm not going to get into this he said, she said stuff.
Right.
I'm not going to go into all that. So he wasn't really one to answer because he's lying, of course.
And then, of course, he stomps on up to the HOH room.
Right. So everybody starts piecing shit together saying, he's been telling us this and this and this about y'all. Oh, really? Because he's been telling us this and this and this about y'all. Laura puts that shit together and says, you know what? He's been pitting us against each other.
Yep.
To try to, and he's the one in the middle smelling like roses.
You know what, though? I have to give it to Laura, though. I mean, she, you know, I didn't particularly care for her in the house, but I have to give it to her, though. Once Ronnie left and wasn't going to fight with them and she was piecing it all together for the people, she broke it down. Because she broke it down.
She did.
She broke it down. And she was certainly correct. Because of all the stuff that he was telling, them people were so easily manipulated.
Yes, they were.
Because he had all of them pitted against
each
other.
And nobody was going to anyone. Well, a couple of people would go to each other and say, well, did you say?
Right.
But they weren't putting it together.
They weren't piecing it together.
They were not piecing it together.
I mean, he was pretty good because it's Big Brother. That's what you're supposed to do. But maybe not quite so soon, though.
Yes. But as we see, as we know, you know, now,
uh-huh.
it's all kind of worked.
Yep.
So throughout all this, Russell gets very irate and upset, and mm-hmm. he's calling Ronnie out of his name.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, everybody is.
Everybody is.
But Russell really takes it upon himself to just be on Ronnie's ass. 24/7.
He follows him around and taunts him every time Ronnie
yep.
comes out of the HOH room. The first time it was funny. After about the third or fourth time, I'm sorry though. I felt sorry for Russell. I was feeling real sorry for
Ronnie.
Excuse me, Ronnie. I was feeling real sorry for him. And plus, you know, most of the time he was sulking up in his room by himself, or he'd be up in his room by himself reading the Bible, or he'd be up in the room, HOH room, by himself eating his little snacks. And, you know, he just looked kind of pitiful.
I didn't feel sorry for him. What I was thinking is, that's what you get. But my other thing is, if he really was a gamer, he really called himself manipulating people, he would have just come out and said, look, I'm playing the game. But he called himself trying to be
slick.
Slick.
He wanted to be slick with
it. And act like he was all upset and scared to get sympathy from people.
But see, this is what liars do. They don't always remember who they told what to. And so
No, he was really good at remembering who he told shit to.
But he was telling shit to everybody.
That was his problem.
I don't understand that strategy.
That was his lone problem, is he was telling too much shit to everybody. Too many people. Mm-hmm. And if he would have just concentrated on a couple, he wouldn't have been found out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But wait, it turns out...
on the After Darks.
On the After Darks...
We see that.
That we see Russell sneaking into the HOH room, that Russell and Ronnie are kind of in cahoots.
Because the first thing Russell says when he closes that door is... Am I convincing or what?
And I was like, you know, what the hell?
I was shocked.
What the shit?
And him and Ronnie are grinning and laughing.
But this is what I want to know. When did that come about? And when did it stop being serious? Because I think at first it was serious.
We do watch the After Darks almost every day. And I can't, and I read the updates and other things too. I cannot discern from what point it went from being real serious to they were in cahoots. Because you're right. At first, Russell was stone serious. Yeah. He was mad just like all the other house guests and everything.
Why was Ronnie throwing him saying that Russell was doing all that?
Yeah.
See, that's my only
point. But Ronnie was very good acting scared and everything.
But no, my thing is, if Ronnie, because we do know Ronnie had told Russell to go and kind of infiltrate.
Yeah, that's true.
The other side, but why was he then saying, well, Russell sure is with them a lot. Maybe he's starting to form a deal with the other side. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to get rid of him and backdoor him. Why would you do that if you had someone you were working together with?
That's what I don't get. I don't know.
So that's why
maybe
that was his trick.
Right. Maybe Ronnie was already assuming that Jesse was going to be really against it. Mm-hmm. Of which Jesse was.
I don't know. I can't figure that out.
I don't know. But when everybody was yelling at Ronnie and they were all ignoring him, all of them, except for Russell. Russell was the one that would taunt him every time.
Right.
And Ronnie would stay in the HOH room unless he had to come out and get food or something. It was pitiful. Otherwise, he was in the HOH room. He didn't interact with them. He didn't come downstairs or nothing. And then he would always look in his little spy cam to see where everybody was before he snuck downstairs and either got food or something. Sometimes Russell would camp out on where they played chess outside the HOH room. And as soon as Ronnie came out the room, he would taunt him. Well, you know, come to find out that they were in cahoots that whole time.
Yeah. See, that's what I don't get.
See, I don't know when
Russell brought
when they
some
did
food
that.
At
yeah.
one point.
Yeah, and everything. But Russell's making the other house guests think that, you know, he's
well,
with
maybe
them.
We have a listener that knows, because I haven't been able to find that on the updates, and I haven't been able to figure that out.
Now, I want to go with talk about Shima and Michelle and the other house guests the day before the eviction ceremony.
Okay.
And that is... Everybody, you know, now that they all agree that Ronnie is the person lying to everybody and stuff, all the other house guests pretty much are talking to one another, you know, and they can sit around and gab and hee-haw and stuff. But so by consensus with the other house guests, it's decided that Shima and Michelle will throw the HOH competition after the eviction, and that ensures that Ronnie can be put up on the block. Because, you know, if one of them win, then you can't put up no brain. So
right. So
everybody agrees. Well, then later that day or evening, Casey says, he tells Natalie, that Michelle is having second thoughts, and she had told him that she was going to compete hard for the HOH.
She didn't feel comfortable.
Right, she didn't feel comfortable. So, of course, Natalie goes and tells Jesse and tells Shima. Well, Shima gets mad. And she says, well, wait a minute, you know, y'all changing things up. And this was like, actually, this was the next day. This was the morning of the eviction day. And Chima's saying, in the night. And she's really mad about it. And she confronts Natalie. Natalie, though, I don't understand why Natalie said, because, you know, Natalie gets to talking real fast. And she said something like, well, you know, that's what Casey said. I mean, there were 8 other people out there and everybody agreed. Now everybody can just play for themselves. And so Shima demanded to know, well, what 8 people? And rather than to name them, Natalie said, well, I can't remember who now. And so therefore Shima don't believe her. So now Shima's kind of getting suspicious of Natalie. Because Shima has told Ronnie a couple times that, I think that we need to get rid of Natalie and Jesse as soon as possible because they're going to get rid of us first.
Yeah, I didn't see that at all.
Yeah. And another thing, too, Shima and Michelle have made up. Michelle went to her just like a grown woman, which I haven't been like Michelle that much, but I have much respect for Michelle because that's what you're supposed to do.
I've liked her.
Yeah. Well, I like her now because she went to her like a woman and said, look, you know, now we know that you were lied to about me. I was lied to about you. And it was all by design stuff. She says, you know, I have no animosity or anything against you and blah, blah. And so they've hugged and made up. And they actually do sit around and talk to one another. So, yeah. So that's a good thing. Okay. So now eviction day. Oh, Lord.
It was good. I mean, we already knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
That it was going to be Laura that left.
Yep.
The house.
Yep. I got to say one thing, though. Laura looked just like a hooch. She looked like the worst hoochie. That dress was so short, she could barely sit down. That was just awful. I thought it was just awful. She did not look good in it at all. Her boobs was too big and the damn thing was too short. And you know, when you're a woman who has like a half a block between your thighs, you need to wear something longer. I don't know why they wear them real skinny dresses and the person's walking and they got this big wide space between their thighs.
Because they're skinny.
Well, hey, she needed to wear something else, but she looked terrible.
When your thighs don't touch, you gotta have a space between your thighs.
Well, hey. She looked terrible, but anyway, I was glad.
I was glad
to see her go.
I think Laura was a pretty girl.
I did not.
Oh yeah, she was.
She looked like a buggy beaver with them big teeth.
You're wrong, Sister J.
Oh, she had them big teeth.
That's wrong.
Her teeth was too daggum big. Rather than getting all that silicone in her breast, she should have got her teeth fixed.
You know what? You're wrong. And you know you're wrong.
That's my opinion.
You are wrong for that. I think Laura was a pretty girl.
Well, that's your opinion.
Well, can I say my damn opinion?
Sure. You're
not even letting nobody else talk.
Sure.
When she washed her face and didn't have that much makeup on, because I think she actually looked better without all the makeup, and when she wore clothes, I do agree, she wore too many clothes that were too tight in the top, and I didn't think, I mean, tons of people wear dresses that short. Tons. And to work. If you can believe that.
Well, let me tell you this. For the people that don't have the 24/7 feeds or the Showtime After Dark, all they see is Laura with that daggum makeup on, caked on, just like a prostitute. They don't see her with her face washed and real clothes on. They don't see that.
I know.
What they see is what she portrayed right there at eviction, and that's exactly what she looked like. Anyway,
that's not even the point.
I'm glad the girl's gone because I got tired of looking at her.
Oh, my goodness.
I really did. Okay.
That's a J.
So then we had the HOH competition. I really liked this game. It was like a skee ball.
That was pretty cool.
That was very cool.
That was pretty cool.
I really liked it.
And I was okay, go ahead. I'll let you talk about it.
Okay, well.
Because I only have one thing to say about the whole thing.
Okay. And I like the fact that all the buckets were in a beehive shape. And, you know, just like in the arcade game, you know, you throw your ball or you try to get your little ball in a bucket that has the highest number. Anyway, Julie said the person who got their ball in a bucket with the highest number would be the winner. They'd win HOH. All right. So you got something to say about who won?
Yes, I do. I was so disappointed, upset, calling foul that Jesse's ass won again. I was rooting for Jeff because I want this tide to change. I want something different.
Yep.
And I'm tired of one side. It happens every season. It seems
every
like
season.
One side for at least 2 or 3 weeks wins every single competition.
Well, I think it's kind of suspicious that Jesse won. I mean, I realized, you know, they have to, like, you know, do that little lever thing, but I don't know.
I don't think there's a way to cheat on that. It's just based on what, you know, what you can do. My thing is, I did not want Jesse to win again.
Yeah.
And that'd be another, because I knew Jesse, well, I don't want to get into what happened this week.
Right.
But I just knew that it was going to be more of the same. One side against the other.
Yep.
And nobody is really going to flip that much because they're scared for some reason of all
these schools. But you know how things change in the Big Brother house. You don't ever know.
You don't ever know.
Yeah,
but
I was
real upset. I really wanted Jeff to win.
Well, but Jeff didn't, so
but
you know.
Jeff did not win.
Okay, so on the After Dark, after the on eviction day, Jesse and Natalie are upstairs outside the HOH room. I guess, you know, the production is doing the room or whatever. And they're playing chess and they're talking. Natalie immediately, okay, who you going to put up? And Jesse says probably Michelle and Jordan. And Natalie says that she wants Casey nominated. So I think she's feeling insecure around Casey because, see, Casey has been, in the evenings anyway, especially when they get alcohol, he's been saying some stuff about, y'all need to be checking out Jesse and Natalie. Y'all need to get that busted up.
Yeah, but what I saw, which I guess maybe that wasn't the same night, but what I saw was Jesse saying, I need to do this for me. I need to make the decision for myself. Not what's going to be best for everyone in the team, but what's best for me.
That's later on.
Oh.
That's much later on. But, okay. And also, an interesting thing that happened on the After Dark that same eviction day is that Shima is having a conversation with Michelle. And she and they've all made up and everything. And they're just chit-chatting. And Shima says that Laura and Jordan told her that they had to tell production what their nomination speech was going to be before the eviction ceremony. And so they was laughing because Shima said that was probably due to, you know, what Shima did. So they want to make sure now. So everybody who's going to be evicted now has to, like, clear their little nomination.
That doesn't mean they can't
thing.
Change it up.
Well, that's true, but they talking to them, I guess.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, before then. But anyway. Okay, so immediately though, Natalie, right after the eviction, and Natalie immediately is asking people, well, who voted for Laura? Knowing that she did it.
Yeah.
So she's pulling a Ronnie, see.
Oh.
She's trying that same thing Ronnie did. Because she immediately says, I think it was Michelle. Because, you know, it wasn't me. Because when I went in that room, the only thing I said was, you know.
Why are they always blaming Michelle?
I don't know. But Natalie's the one that did that. She started that mess.
I don't like that.
Yeah, so all the other house guests said, well, it wasn't me, you know, I voted for Jordan. Well, it wasn't me because I voted for this one. And, of course, you know, Michelle's saying, well, I voted for Jordan, you know. But then Natalie's telling them, well, I think it was Michelle.
So, well, I want to know why they're all picking on Michelle now. I do know Michelle isn't playing the game very well. And I don't know, I think she's kind of socially awkward.
Probably.
Because, and she just doesn't realize or know how to lie, I think, is what her problem is. Because
that could
people
be too.
Have been coming up to her, asking her, what are you going to do? Or if I set up this person, will you vote? And she's like, well, she's wishy-washy. She doesn't ever commit.
Right.
And you kind of have to and lie in the game.
But maybe she just isn't a lie person. I don't know.
That's
probably true,
but that's not...
I'm liking Michelle, though, better and better.
I've liked Michelle since the beginning.
I didn't, but I'm liking her. I'm liking her more and more, though. And the house guests are pretty much, all of them, pretty much are ignoring Ronnie. He's by himself a lot. When they're in the backyard, he's in the house. If they're in the house all sitting around the table talking and stuff, he goes outside. You know, because he's not in the HOH room anymore, see? So he can't go up there and hide. So
yeah.
And it is kind of pitiful, but hey. But anyway, okay, eventually we get to see Jesse's HOH room. And he tells people, you know, who wants to see my HOH room?
In the after dark?
Yeah, in the after dark. And so they go up and Jesse gets a Lil Wayne CD. So he must like rap music or something. Because he gets a Lil Wayne CD.
Uh-huh.
He gets the protein powder and he gets some wine. But he's telling the house guest that, oh, good, I got some wine. But it wasn't the wine that he asked for. So he didn't drink none. But the other people,
he didn't drink the wine he got the first time.
But, you know, and he got a toothbrush. So I don't know if it was a special type toothbrush or, because I'm sure they all got a toothbrush.
Yeah.
You know. But but the most interesting thing is they got a picture of Jesse when he was like 5 or 6.
Aww.
Oh, he was adorable.
Really?
Oh, he was so cute. Big, big eyes. And he got this little cowlick that sticks up, you Aww. Know. He is really cute, though. And, you know, little kids got those little bitty teeth.
Well, I will say, Jesse,
he looks really
is
cute.
Growing on me a little bit. I still don't like him. I don't like that he won HOH again.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not as annoying to me as
he was
last year.
I think he's playing a better game.
He is.
He's playing a much better game this time.
He kind of lays low a little bit
mm-hmm.
when he wasn't in power.
That's right.
He made the right alliance, at least for that week.
And have you noticed, when he's not the HOH, but even when he is the HOH, but when he wasn't the HOH, he did a much better game because he told Ronnie what he thought they should do. He says, but hey, I will support you. You're the HOH. It's your decision.
Yeah.
I will support whatever you decide. You want to get Russell out? I will support that. I will vote for him, you know, to backdoor him. So,
right. You
know, Jesse played that right. Now, Jesse's problem is called Natalie.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, the house guests are peeping that out. They want her gone. And to Jesse's credit, whenever they want to break them up, they want Natalie gone first.
Yeah.
Now, you would think they'd want Jesse gone first, but no, they want Natalie gone first. So, you know.
Because she's annoying.
Oh, and she tells everything.
She does.
She tells everything. And we'll discuss this on our next podcast because we got lots to say about Natalie and Lydia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got lots to say. So, I think that's probably going to do it for our discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
what's that?
Yeah, I
think so.
That was basically the whole week. I mean,
yeah, it is.
It was still,
we're just kind of late with it.
It was still,
you know,
drama filled. It was still interesting. It was still good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still loving Big Brother.
Oh, yeah. I love Big Brother.
I've just been kind of off watching the After Dark, so I'm not really mm-hmm. up on what all has been happening there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still loving it.
I watch them, so. Okay. You want to tell them how they can.
Yes. If y'all have any opinions or want to tell us what you saw, because I'm still not understanding the whole Ronnie Russell relationship. So if y'all have some scoop, please let me know. Our website is sistersinreview.com and you can click on the Big Brother link. Our voicemail is 972-692-7341 and our email address is sisterspeak@gmail.com.
Yeah, and I want to give a special shout out to our girlfriend podcasters, Babe and Mimi. Hey, Babe. Hey, Mimi.
Hey, ladies.
Thank you so much, ladies, for the nice shout out you gave us on our podcast, on our Big Brother podcast. And we love it. If you want another really good podcast to listen to, I suggest you all go to Big Brother Lova, and it's B-R-U-T-H-A, like brother, Lova, L-U-V-A, and I believe they're on iTunes, too.
I love the way Babe, Mimi, I think it is, says, Big Brother Lova.
I know!
I love that.
That is just so unique.
That's my favorite part of the whole, not the favorite, but it's one of the best parts of the whole episode.
And shout out also to their new little addition, Heine.
Yeah, I want to know where that name came from.
I don't know, but you could do some damage with that. you could do some terrible jokes with that, but you know, be that as it may. But, so I encourage everybody to go to the Big Brother Lover podcast and listen to Babe and Mimi.
Or babeandmimi.com.
Yeah, or babeandmimi.com, and they have a link. And I just have a question for the ladies, Babe and Mimi, and I want to know, what's up with the Barry White song at the end talking about a woman in blue panties? I just want to know. So maybe you can address that on your next little show.
Gracious.
Well, anyway. Okay.
All right. Well, that's it for our episode 2. Yep. I guess we will see y'all shortly, the next few days, for a new episode.
And we'll try to be on time.
Yeah, it's been hard with me still being kind of sick, but hopefully we'll stay more on track.
And we do another podcast, too. So.
Yeah, but we're on track with that one. We're just kind of off on this one.
Yeah.
So anyway, enough chit-chat.
Okay.
We'll be back shortly.
Okay.
Okay, I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next week. Or in a couple of days.
In a couple of days.